Translation and Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Chikone. And yet others say that you appeared to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned souls suffering from the material pangs might take up advantage and again liberation. Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the Lord asserts that He appears every millennium just to re-establish the way of religion. The way of religion is made by the Supreme Lord. No one can manufacture a new path of religion, as it is a fashion for certain ambitious persons. The factual way of religion is to accept the Lord as a supreme authority and thus render service unto Him in spontaneous love. A living being cannot help but render service because he is constitutionally made for this purpose. The only function of the living being is to render service to the Lord. The Lord is great, and the living beings are subordinate to Him. Therefore, the duty of the living being is just to serve Him only. Unfortunately, the illusion living beings, out of misunderstanding only, become servants of the senses by material desire. The desire is called avidya, or nisance. And out of such desire, the living beings take different paths of plans for material enjoyment centered around perverted sex life. He therefore becomes entangled in the chain of birth and death by transmigrating into different bodies from different planets under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Unless, therefore, one is beyond the boundary of this nisance, one cannot get free from the threefold miseries of material life. That is the law of nature. The Lord, however, out of His causeless mercy, because He is more merciful to the suffering living beings than they can expect, appears before them and renovates the principle of devotional service, comprised of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping, praying, cooperating and surrendering unto Him. The adoption of the above all mentioned items, or any one of them, can help a conditioned soul get out of the entanglement of nisance and become liberated from all material sufferings, created by the living beings, illusioned by the external energy. This particular type of mercy is bestowed upon the living being by the Lord in the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Jnana Trimandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshulamitam Yena Tasmay Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sagana Raghunatham Itam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapto Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Evacha Patitanam Pavane Bayo Vaishnave Bayo Namo Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ti Namine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtata Dishitarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we've been reading from Canto 8, Chapter 1, Chapter 8. Many devotees have already spoken on this, but just a quick recap on the whole of the Chapter 8, particularly how it's been broken down from verse 1 to 52. The first five verses are pacification of the family of the Pandavas. This whole incident is taking place after the Battle of Kurukshetra. Obviously, Maharaj Yudhisthira is performing Ashwamedha Yaga. And then from text 1 to 16 is the protection of Uttara's womb for Maharaj Parikshit. And there's a great deal of details in there, how Uttara is being attacked by Ashwatthama, and, you know, Krishna comes to protect Uttara from the Brahmastra. And then from text 17 to 43 is the Quinkunti's offerings. There are a total of 26 verses where Quinkunti is actually praising Lord Krishna for different reasons why Krishna has come. Then goes on to from 43 to 53, goes on to Maharaj Yudhisthira's repentance, how he's praying that, you know, he's killed so many, he's taken charge of being the king, and so many people have been killed, and he's repenting. How can he enjoy the kingdom in this matter? And in today's verse, it said, yet others say you appeared to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned souls suffering from material pangs might take up the advantage and gain liberation. So, it talks about rejuvenation and then gives the answers of what one needs to do in order to become rejuvenated. In the material world, everyone wants to be rejuvenated to keep the body young, the mind, in so many different ways, but no one is thinking how to rejuvenate the spiritual life of why we're here in this material world. We're here in this material world not just by chance or coincidence. We've been put here due to our past karmas. And Krishna gives us the opportunity in how to actually come out of this, and speaks that simply if one takes up any one of these processes, Prabhupada explains, chanting, hearing, there are 9 aspects of devotional service. If one takes off any one of them, Prabhupada makes clear that if one takes off any one of them, then one can become liberated. So the 9 processes of devotional service begin with hearing. And that's what we're doing, is hearing, and this, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. That if we constantly every day hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, all that is troublesome will go away, will dissipate. And here it explains how Maharaj Parikshit, in the last 7 days of his life, he gained perfection of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So each part of devotional service will give different benefits. Eh? So the hearing, when one is about to die, most people are thinking of, you know, what are your last wishes? What would you like to do? What can we do for you? But here Maharaj Parikshit was inquiring, what is the best purpose for me? What is the solution? Eh? And thus, Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Srimad Bhagavatam, and by hearing of the Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit gained perfection. Chanting is one of the other principles of the nine processes of bhakti. Sukadeva Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit, so he gained perfection by kirtanam, by glorifying Lord Krishna and speaking about the Bhagavatam, the different aspects of the Bhagavatam. Remembering Vishnu Smaram, Prahlad Maharaj, he was constantly put under different tests by his father at every stage of his life, that he should forget Krishna. That he was trying to say that he is Hiranyakashipu was God. But we can see the intensity of Prahlad Maharaj, that how he took shelter of Lord Krishna at every stage. You know, Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Krishna in so many different ways. But still constantly tried to poison him, tried to burn him, put him in the prison. You know, in so many different ways he tried to do all of this, but yet by Prahlad Maharaj's remembrance of Krishna, he achieved perfection. And Prabhupada, within the Bhagavatam, talks many stories about Prahlad Maharaj, how a five-year-old boy took up the path of devotional service, even though he was born in the family of the Asuras. But we see, even though one may be born into a particular type of family, if the mercy of the devotee is there, like Prahlad Maharaj heard the Bhagavatam from Narad Muni within the womb of his mother Uttara. And when Narad Muni spoke the Bhagavatam, he remembered all of this. How is it possible, one may consider, that one can remember all of this? But the mercy of a pure devotee can make anything possible. And here within the purport, Prabhupada says, the way of, it appears in the every millennium just to reestablish the way of religion. The way of religion is made by the Supreme Lord. No one can manufacture a new path of religion. In this modern day and age, particularly in India and also everywhere else in the world, we see there are new religions, so-called religions coming up. But Krishna assures that dharma tu shakshad pranitape, that religion can only be made by the Lord, because it's not something that is manufactured. It is something that is there. And Prabhupada here in the purport goes on to say, it's the constitutional position of a living entity to serve. We can see that everyone is serving someone or some country. You know, Prabhupada explains from community to family to community, community to countries. In every aspect, this is going on. But we're very busy serving our senses. Because we're very busy serving our senses, we forget Krishna. And this is the whole purpose of rejuvenation, that because it's a tendency for us to forget. One of the defects that we have is forgetfulness. Krishna mentions, out of the four, forgetfulness is one of them. We forget our real position. What is our real position? Our real position is to actually serve. And we're fortunate that Prabhupada, due to his causeless mercy, at the age of 69, in 1964 came to the West at such an advanced age to show his compassion to all the living beings. We individuals, we're gathered here in this room, for only one reason, is because due to the mercy of Prabhupada. Otherwise, we would not know any one of us each other. Biologically, we're not connected, but spiritually, we are connected. And that is due to the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada came out to the West to preach because his Guru Maharaj said, if ever you have any money, go to the West and preach to the Western countries. Because India at that time was trying to follow the West, still is. That whatever the West does is the best. So Prabhupada at such an age left Vrindavan to come to the West. And on his way to the journey to the West, he had two heart attacks. So one can only imagine the intensity of what Prabhupada actually went through. But he was constantly protected by Krishna. We don't know what it's like to be old until you become old. We may see people suffering sometimes. We think, oh, you know, this is not going to happen to me. But it is the nature of this material body, it is the nature of the material world, that janma mrityu jara vyadhi, birth, death, old age and disease. These four things, regardless of who we are or where we are or who we may become, because in the material plane, we're trying to find a comfortable situation, thinking, if I have a little bit of this, my life will be better. If I have a bit more money, or if I have a shelter, if I have something. But we don't realize that regardless, this birth, death, old age and disease is going to be there wherever we are. From Indra Gop, the bacteria, all the way to the king of heaven, Indra. These principles will always remain and have always remained because that's the way the Krishna has created this material world. But we're given an opportunity how we can come out of all of this. And the first process is shravanam, by hearing. If we hear the right things, we can hear so many things. But really, what source are we hearing from and who are we listening from? Prabhupada gives the example of a milk touched by the lip of a serpent. The milk, as it stands, is very nutritious. It's a great thing. But once it's touched by the lip of a serpent, it's contaminated, it's poisonous, it becomes poisonous. So when we hear, if we're not hearing from the right source, then we'll miss the goal of what we are really meant to be doing. And that is listening to Prabhupada's lectures that are, or other lectures that are bona fide by the spiritual masters. But we have a tendency that we've heard this before. You know, I know I've heard all these lectures before. But the real test is how much of this can we actually practice? How much of all this can we practice? Because unless we can practice, the hearing will be there for a few minutes and come out through the other ear. That's unfortunately the human nature. You know, it's like we're all sitting here, we're trying to listen. For a few moments we're focused and we're paying attention. But then, within a few moments, our mind will wander away. That, oh, I have this to do, or I've got that to do. the nature of the mind is to actually wander away, but it is the intelligence that can bring back our thoughts. Eh? A perfect example of this is when we're in a crematorium. It's not a place that we all like to go to, but it is a fact of life. Eh? That some people avoid going to the crematorium because they become so despondent about life. Eh? But the reality is that when someone does pass away, it is our duty to farewell, because somehow or the other, they've touched our life somewhere. Eh? Each living entity has given us something. Out of the 8,400,000 species of life, every living entity has given us something in order for us to be here in this world now, this moment. So we're indebted. So when we're at a crematorium, we sometimes become very serious and think, wow, this is the reality of life. You know, my turn could be next. What will people say about me? What would people think about me? All these thoughts rush through our mind. Now, for a few flickering seconds, we think, oh, you know what? I think I really need to become, I need to wake up. I need to wake up to the reality of what is going on. Eh? But the moment we come out to the crematorium, we switch the phone on or switch the radio on, and our mind again wanders and becomes polluted that, oh yes, we forget just the flickering moments of coming out of the crematorium. We forget what we've just seen and what we've just heard. Eh? But human nature is such that we have this small, minute independence of free will. And this free will, we think, is going to give us so much enjoyment. It's going to take me to places. It's going to make me so rich that, you know, I want to lord it over the material nature. The mind always is thinking of some plans and how we can enjoy our life. Eh? But the very reality of what it is that we keep on forgetting. We forget, even though there's a constant reminder at every stage in our life, but we keep forgetting. Eh? This forgetfulness, Krishna says, mat smiti jnanam apohanam cha. It is because we want to forget, Krishna gives us the ability to forget. But if we want to remember Krishna, Krishna also gives us the ability to remember him. But the choice is ours. And this minute choice is making so much trouble in our life, but we think, you know what, I'm different. Each one of us, I can speak for myself, that there's some realization that comes in every now and then. Then within a few moments, think, you know what, this is not going to happen to me. Eh? Beloved Shruti Dharma Prabhu, we've known each other for over 35 years. And one would never have thought that this will happen to him. Eh? Such a exalted devotee, given all his life to Prabhupada, given his life to the manor. Eh? He could have been a brain surgeon. Eh? But he decided that there was more priority, there was more important things in life. Eh? So he took up to the mission of Prabhupada. Eh? And from the day he came to the temple, his mission is always how to bring people to Krishna consciousness. Eh? So, due to his kindness, him and Pranabandhu Prabhu, 35 years ago, they would wait outside the pub for me. We met at one incident. We met at one place where I was working in a printing firm. And they said, oh, you're in the printing trade, you know, so maybe we can use you, you know. You may have something to offer. And, you know, I was not really interested in Krishna consciousness as such. But their perseverance of, you know, I mean, if you can imagine a devotee, you know, wearing saffron robes, sitting in the car out on a cold night in a winter evening outside the pub, people wonder, you know, what are these devotees doing? Huh? But they were waiting for me to come out of the pub so that they could speak to me and preach to me. Huh? So you can see that unless a mercy of a devotee comes upon us, without the mercy of the devotee, regardless of where we may be today, we may be in some situation, we may be in some position today, but that position has not just come out of the thin air. Eh? It has only happened because someone took the time, someone took the compassion to actually preach to us, to give us the association. Eh? And how can we repay this gratitude, this debt that we owe to these devotees? Eh? Because ultimately spiritual life is of such nature that whatever we may give to somebody, thinking, you know, I've done my bit, is never enough. It'll never, the debt that we owe to Prabhupada will never be enough, because even after many, many lifetimes, if we try to repay Prabhupada, we simply cannot do it. But what we can do is we can be a good example. Yeah? By becoming a good example, others will see, others will think, oh, you know, this person is following what he's saying, prachar and achar. The behavior is, you know, our behavior will speak million words, millions of words. Yeah? Prabhupada says that a fool is known when he opens his mouth. Yeah? It's like, for myself, I can see what a fool I am. Eh? After all these years, I've never taken the opportunity to cleanse myself, because this speaking of the Bhagavatam here is actually a purification for myself. That even though Shruti Dharma Prabhu has always encouraged all of us that to read and to give classes, but we've always been in the mood of actually serving. We'd like to be in the background. Being in the background sometimes is also a comfort zone, and there's also sometimes there's genuine humility that people feel that, you know, being in the background is probably the best for me because of my circumstances, of my situation. But really, if we consider, if everybody does the same thing, because everybody likes to pay humble, it's really, it is the quality of a devotee to be humble, but sometimes we make it a comfort zone to think, you know what, actually for me, I've done my part, you know, now I've been around for so long, I can just some kind of take it easy because I've given my time. But really, Krishna consciousness is not about comfort zone. It's not about I've done enough. Yeah? Because there is never enough. Just like in the material world, you know, how many people do we see or do we hear, whether it's Bill Gates or whoever, the Amazon owner, yeah? When does anybody say, you know, I made a million and now I'm happy. I don't need to do any, I don't need to gain any more. Is there? Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Jai Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Jai Shishi Gonitai ki, Jai Shila Prabhupada ki, Jai. So materially, if we consider that it's never enough. So similarly, if we take that example, that attitude, that it's not enough, there is always more. Then we can flourish in our Krishna consciousness. But the comfort zone is of such nature that when you live outside, it's even more difficult. Within the temple, you know, the brahmacharis are done. If someone's always checking that who's here for Mangalati, who's not here, or who's here for the class, who's doing their service. But when you live outside, there is no such check, because the earnest is onto your own self. Because there is two aspects. That one is like we like to judge people. At every stage, every moment of our life, we're making some kind of judgment that this devotee I like, you know, because he's the best. Why is he the best? Because, you know, he always thinks nice of me. He never has an ill word to say about me. So we think when somebody says something bad about us, then we think, oh, what does he know about? I'm being judged here. Why am I being judged? What does he know about me? So two aspects of this is, one is to judge people and the other is to be judged. If we're really trying to become Krishna conscious, then we need to be judged. We need to be judged that what have we done for Prabhupada? What are we doing? What are our plans? From this year to that year, where are we going to get to? A wonderful example is Sutta Prabhu here. You know, every year when the marathon comes, he's got some plans of how to further increase Prabhupada's awareness. Books of Srila Prabhupada. How many homes can we get into? You know, or who can we give this book to? Or whether it's books or prasad, how can we touch people's life? Unless we have plans like this, we're just going to be here in this material world, and the time will come. And just like anyone else, what will we be able to remember at the time of death? Because our real examination is at the time of death. We can put on a show that, you know, like most people don't really see me in a dhoti every time. They see me in my bhakta pants or trousers and think, you know, well, for me, I think, you know, it's a comfort zone. I think it's okay. You know, devotees know I'm a practicing devotee. But really, dress and address, these two aspects, that when we dress, what are we going to be addressing? If we came with tie and a suit here and thought, you know, that actually I'm a business person or I'm doing this, you know, it's okay. But it's inappropriate. It's not dressed for the occasion. So that's why Prabhupada uses his face, that dress and then address. But then he goes to further on to say that a fool is known when he opens his mouth. That I may be dressed up as a devotee, but when I speak, what am I speaking about? Am I speaking about the Gramya Katha that's going on around me? Or am I speaking about Prabhupada? Or am I thinking about, you know, there's so many things to do, how can I be engaged? And to be engaged means devotional service. There are 9 processes of devotional service, and Prabhupada here mentions that any one of these, if we take up to this path, we will surely at one stage realize in our own self. But unfortunately, the problem that arises is this realization is very short-lived because of this forgetfulness. And that's why Prabhupada created this International Society of Krishna Consciousness. Yeah? Really, for us, there is nothing safer in this world. There is nothing safer in this world than to be in the association of the devotees. Without the association of the devotees, we are doomed. Just like, you know, you have a single match, you can break it very easily. But you have a whole bunch of matches together, it's very difficult to break it. So when you're in the association of the devotees, even if our mind is wandering, a devotee will recognize this and tell us, Prabhu, this is what we need to be doing. This is why we're here. And that's why Prabhupada not just set up this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, but he said that your love for me will be shown by how well you cooperate. Because if we love Prabhupada, then this cooperation is one of the most important factors of advancement in Krishna consciousness. Because we will always think what we are doing is the right way. Particularly if you're out in the business world, you think your way is the best way. There is no other way. Because you got there because of what you are doing and the way you're doing it. But the reality is there is always someone greater than us. There is always someone bigger than us. That is the material world. We're never the center of attraction. If we are the center of attraction, we're only a center of attraction for a few moments, few days, few moments. And then that center of attraction is gone to somebody else. Because someone else has something better to offer. This is the way of the material world. That there is always, and we always like to hang about with somebody who's great because we think if that person is great, then maybe I can also learn how to become great. That's the material disease. But the association of the devotee is to remind us that what are we doing wrong? Because we need to be judged. This is where it comes in to judge and to be judged. Because we always feel that we can judge people because it's just okay, because I'm me. Janasya moha aham iti manyate. That this whole business of aham, I make these plans because it's my family. But little do we realize this family is there for a certain period. It's like being on a journey. Just like when we on a train journey or a plane journey, we're sitting next to somebody, we start talking about things, and before we realize the journey is over, we go our way and the other person goes their way. But spiritually, it's not like that. Spiritually, there is never a my way or the highway. In the spiritual world, there is never my way or the highway, because cooperation is what should bring us together again. Prabhupada explains also that this material world is like an airport. You know, in the airport there's a transit lounge. Everyone is waiting to take a flight to some destination. So we're all here in this material world. It's a question of time before which journey we take. So this world is like a transit lounge. And how we get to that journey is by having faith. It's like if we have faith in the Guru and Prabhupada, then we know the devotees will help us. Devotees will guide us to remain in Krishna consciousness. You know, there's a particular saying Prabhupada says, you know, don't be surprised by who leaves the movement. But be surprised by who stays. Just like, you know, over a period of time, we've seen so many devotees that have come and gone. For whatever reason, one reason or another reason they've left. There must be something that someone has done or something that they've thought have made them leave the movement. But if we take back the time and see, you know, what it takes to bring someone to Krishna consciousness, to bring someone to Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says, we have to, you know, use up gallons of blood, to convince somebody. It's not just convincing, but for someone to accept. You can, you know, take the horse to the water, but you can't make it drink. So one can explain about Krishna consciousness to people, but if one doesn't take it, there's a little choice sometimes we have. But if we're merciful to the person, we show some compassion in our own dealings. Because sometimes if we push somebody too much, then they'll think, wow, you know, I've got other things to do. Especially when we are preaching or anything, we want to download everything in one go. You know, Prabhu, your family, everything. So everything is just simply a waste of time, you know. Just come and join the temple. For someone who's new, it's not going to work. We need to give them bite sizes, smaller things. We have to realize that when one comes to Krishna consciousness, it's a gradual process. It's a process that for some of us, it's many, many lifetimes. And for some of us, just one lifetime. Very simple example I can give is another a great devotee, a friend of ours, Harivamsa Prabhu. Again, I was very fortunate. We used to live together back in the early 90s in the same house. Every morning, we'd have a morning program. We'd, you know, 7 o'clock, we'd have Lilarti, followed by Nashinga prayers, and we'd read from the Bhagavad Gita to encourage each other. And this association, you can see, you know, can only come if we're receptive. When we are not receptive of Krishna consciousness, then it really doesn't matter whether the whole Bhagavatam is being spoken to us or, you know, wonderful glories may be spoken, but if we're not receptive, then it's not really going to move us. How to become receptive is to become humble. Here Prabhupada says this particular type of mercy is bestowed upon the living being by the Lord in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's given us this shishtakam, he's given us so many things. But he says particularly three things that we should do every day. Jivadaya, Sadhu Sangha, and Harinam. If you do these three things every single day, then we're assured that our position is guaranteed to be safe. But the moment we think, you know, Jivadaya, how can I, what is Jivadaya? Is Jivadaya doesn't have to be outside in the material. We can Jivadaya to our own family. If we're living outside, for my own example, is that I feel, you know, nurturing my son, Madhava, he's definitely a blessing to me. We had him after 14 years of marriage. And you can see he's very devotionally inclined. And this proves the fact that wherever we leave off our Krishna consciousness, if we're not fortunate enough to complete it in this lifetime, and then there are four aspects of activities or pious activities that we can have. Is being born into a rich family. We can become, you know, very handsome, smart, or good looking. But then Krishna says, out of all these four, to be born in a devotee family is very rare. So we can see there are a lot of devotees taking birth in devotee families. So they're good fortune that wherever they left off, they have the good fortune of continuing this process of Krishna consciousness. And as I was saying, that how do we be judged, especially if we're living outside, is by committing ourselves to some regular service, that it kind of reiterates that what the purpose of our life is. That it's not just me, mine, but a wider picture. It's like, you know, the Haveli is being built, how people can be engaged in whether it's giving in form of Lakshmi, other, if they have skills, they could help out. You know, there are so many devotees engaged in making this possible. But this is only possible because there's cooperation. But when there's no cooperation, any business, anything in this world, when there's no cooperation, it'll fall apart. So for us as devotees, it is very extremely important that we become cooperative. So there's cooperative, and there's two other aspects of our life, is judging and to be judged. That if we just continuously keep judging people, Krishna will not take this very lightly. Because Krishna says, out of all the offenses that we can do, offense to the devotee is the greatest. There are many examples of Durvasa Muni and Amrish Maharaj. We've all heard these examples so many times. But unless we have constant reminders, it'll be extremely difficult to stay on this path. This Krishna consciousness is not just something that is done for a certain period of time, and then we think, you know what, I've booked my place. Really, the test will come at the time of death. Will we be able to remember Krishna? Who will be around us? Just the other day, Monday, I was looking after Shuti Dharma Prabhu, and Sutapa Prabhu is coming later on to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Radha Govinda Ravi made a remark, and I thought it was quite very relevant to Shuti Dharma's position, that as you know, he was going to take sannyas at some stage before he got married. He's almost ready for it. But he said, look, Shuti Dharma Prabhu, you know, you didn't take sannyas, but at this stage of your life, you're getting the service of a sannyasi. Everyone is, you know, everyone's putting so much time and effort to make his situation comfortable as he possibly can, so that he's in a happy, a comfortable situation. There is no such thing as comfort when you're in his situation. But one thing is for sure, that his consciousness is very much fixed up. It is so fixed up that if you speak any shloka from the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavad, anything related to Krishna consciousness, he'll just start speaking straight away. So you can see the real test of our life is towards the end. Will we be able to remember Krishna? And the whole purpose of reading the Bhagavatam, hearing the classes, is to actually prepare, make a preparation that for our ultimate goal of our life, ultimate destination, that we will be able to remember Krishna, or at least devotees will be around us. According to our activities, we'll see. So this is Prabhupada's mercy upon us. Prabhupada was writing almost 100 pages a week. When we take up, look at Prabhupada's literature, how many books he's written. Can you imagine at that age to write 100 pages a week? We can just ask Sutapa Prabhu, who's doing some writing, how easy would it be to do 100 pages a week? So just imagine, Prabhupada has given so much emphasis and time to his writings. If we don't take it up, we may hear classes, we may preach a little bit, but if we don't really read the shastras, the gyan and vigyan, We'll have the gnan of the spiritual aspect, but the vigyan of actual realization, of realizing that I'm not this body. This is the ultimate, isn't it? That I am not this body. Hare Krishna, thank you very much for tolerating me.